We're glad you're here. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I have some of ours that were out last week with various sicknesses back with us. We're so glad that that's true. Hopefully it won't be long. Some of these others that have been mentioned and made note of can be with us as well. We have some visitors here today. Thank you for coming. Glad that you've come to be with us. Give you a quick update. I got a text very recently from Tim Stevens. When they left here, they were scheduled for the very next week to be in Arkansas doing the very same thing there they did here, another week-long thing. When they got there, there just happened to be a doctor there among the group. And Vicky's eyes, he noticed her eyes. She was jaundiced, and he recognized that. They went home, they got some tests done, and she had a blockage in her bile duct. They had to put her in and take care of that. While they were there, they went ahead and ran some tests on her, and they do know that now she does have some cancer back, some of the very ones that have been radiated earlier, things that in the past have been gone, it is back. And they go tomorrow to Dallas. And basically what Tim said is that instead of putting things off to the end of the year like initially they thought they'd be able to do, it does look like they're going to be starting her treatments again very, very quickly. But let's just remember, they've got a lot going on, and I just got that right before I came in, so I haven't been able to get back in touch with them about that, but I'll try to keep you informed of what I find out about that. But let's have a prayer before we go into our study. God and Father, we're so thankful to you that you do hear our prayers. It's an incredibly wonderful blessing to think that our Creator loves us enough to be concerned about the things that we're concerned about and about the loved ones that we have. And so thank you for hearing us. Thank you for being concerned and having love and affection for us. And we certainly have many, Father, we want to make requests about. We pray you be with both Betty Mary and Melinda Weeks as they recover from some serious falls recently. We're so thankful for Amy Key and Peter Livingston's successful surgeries, and pray that as they recover from those that they'll have no hindrances at all. We're certainly mindful, Father, of all those among us who are battling various levels and degrees of cancers and the treatments included with that. Please be with Charles Bowen. Be with Nancy Maddox and Lucas Rhodes. Be with Charles Hell. Pray, Father, you do that we can be with Vicky, with whatever is about to come from the recent diagnosis that she has gotten. And mindful, Father, of all the various ones here just dealing with sicknesses, various ones dealing with issues of age. There's so many things that affect the body. Help us to, as we study this morning, Father, help us to consider and remember that while the body here fades, there is a part of us that's eternal, made in your nature. Help us to consider that. Help us to dwell on that. Help us to be thankful of the goodness you've made that can let us be part of your kingdom. And so as we've made note of all these physical things, let that just be a reminder that this earth is not the end for us. There is a place better for us, and give us a desire to do everything you've asked of us to make sure that we're there. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just talking to someone back today in the foyer. I sure am glad I'm a part of this group. I said, I sure am too. This past Wednesday night, Brent Rose did the invitation. He talked about blessings, seeing our blessings, counting our blessings, especially that can be hard sometimes, depending on the certain specific nature of the trials in our life that can blind us to everything else. One of the blessings that I have is being here. I want you to know that. I want you to know how much we appreciate that. Me and Carl have been blessed to be a part of the church here. We are a blessed group. We are a blessed people. Organized as God wants us to be. As we talked last week, we're a blessed church. We have all those various age groups that a lot of churches don't have. They have some gaps in those groups. Some do. We have people here, crazy talented, skilled, willing to use those talents. As was mentioned earlier in one of the prayers, there's a peace here. There's a love here. And you would think, well, that's how it should be everywhere. Yeah, that's right. It is how it's supposed to be everywhere. But it's not how it is everywhere. So what I want us to look at today is just take some ownership of that and to not let it go unnoticed. The blessings we have one with another. What an incredible blessing that we have to have brethren for the church to be assembled and to put together in the way that it is. That we have these to encourage us. So let's look today and let's make sure that whatever's going on in our life, there's a lot going on in a lot of lives. As Brent reminded us Wednesday night, don't let that blind us to some things. Let's not let this be one of the things that we're not blinded from the blessings we have one with another. Just the blessings of encouragement and edification. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. The word appears there. We'll talk more about it, the meaning of it in just a moment. But Ephesians 4, pick up with me in verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Now, both of those are gone, by the way. There are no more apostles today living. There are no more prophets today living, but their work is still around. We still have inspired writings of both apostles and prophets. So it's not like we're out in the cold in this. They were given to the church. And 2,000 years later, we still have them. Okay, why? There were some given to be apostles, some are prophets. Some evangelists, we still have those. Some pastors, shepherds, we still have those. Teachers, we still have those. Why? For the perfecting, the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry, the work of serving. For the edifying, there's your word. For the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, full grown man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God, I hadn't left you an orphan. I hadn't left you without your need. I provided for those needs. You have what you need. What do they do? They allow growth. They allow maturity. They allow for this strengthening. And that word in verse 12, for the edifying, the building up of the body. That's basically what edifying means. The newer versions use the word building up. That's what it means. It means to increase. Edifying means to build up by definition. Here's how easy it is for us to figure out what that means. A body builder. You got one pictured in your head? The Mr. Olympuses, the Mr. Universes, those body builders. We know what it means if somebody is a body builder. Arnold Schwarzenegger was a body builder by trade. How he made a living. We understand if you want to build up your body, there are things that allow for that. Weights, gym, exercises, whatever, diet. There are things that will build a body up. Well, there are things that will build a soul up as well. And God has given them to us. And that's what edification does. This increasing in strength. The idea of active help and benefit that others can do for us to make us stronger. Salt. Salt impacts. Light. Light impacts. Leaven. Leaven impacts. And that's a blessing of our brethren. If we are what we are supposed to be. Remember, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount wasn't talking future tense. He said, you are salt of the earth. You are light. If me and you are what we are supposed to be, we have an impact on others. And because, and here's the blessing that we have, because there are people in our life who are what they are supposed to be, me and you are stronger because of it. We are better because of it. We have been built up because of it. We are prepared for the next fire. And just to use the example, you know, Brian mentioned in his prayer, you know, a lot of sickness going on. Five people among us that a year ago was not going through chemo treatments are going through it now. That's how much things have changed in a year in those families. And they have every one of them dealt with it. The families have dealt with it with eyes straight ahead, eyes still looking up. I'll go through the treatments. I will do what I'm supposed to do. They may work or they may not. But their faith is still there. Their strength is still there. Does that not build you up? Because one of these days, It might be mine and your diagnosis. We're the one who's eyeball to eyeball with the doctor, and it's not a pleasant conversation. And we have people scattered all throughout our lives who have shown us how to deal with it. We talked about aging last week, the blessings of aging. God called it a crown of glory. We might not like what aging does to us, but we have all seen people who handled it. We've all seen people that took the aging and their faith stayed strong. Outer man perishing, outer man growing weaker, inner man flying like an eagle, as Isaiah talked about. We've all seen that. You know what they've done? They've shown us how to do it. When our health is gone, they've shown us how to stay firm. That's edification. That's being built up. They make us wiser. They make us better. They make us stronger. Now what that infers is, if the blessing of the brethren is that we strengthen one another, well, that's an individual responsibility. Just as people have strengthened us, we have the responsibility to strengthen others. It's that cycle that never ends. We help one another. That continually happens in a healthy church, a non-diseased church. Now, let me pause just to throw this in, which will probably make some people mad. That's okay. Aren't you glad we have the stream? Aren't you thankful? When we're sick, we can still see. We can still hear what's going on. We hear every announcement. We hear every prayer. Still this form, whatever form it might be, there's this form of some engagement. Don't you, for 1 second, equal that to being present? It's wonderful that we have it. I'm glad that we have it. But Satan is an expert at taking something good and turn it into something evil. If you think that they are the same, they are not. And what we're talking about right now is why they're not the same. There are people at home right now who can't be here. There are people at home right now with a compromised immune system and they can't be here. There are people at home right now sick. But they are not edifying me and you. It's not their fault. It's not a choice. It's not, but they aren't edifying us because they're not here. We can edify them. They're not edifying us. Don't think that they are equal. Don't equalize them. We have a responsibility to build one another up. And if I'm never here, I can't do that. If you're never here, you can't do that. It's a blessing. I'm glad it's not 1950. I'm glad we have that. And I'm glad that. But it's not the same. The encouragement and the edification. What a wonderful thing that is. Count it. Life's upside down for some of us. Life is even more upside down for some. But don't get blind to this blessing. The blessing we have one with another, and the strength that we get from one another, the encouragement that we get from one another, the relationships that we build one with another, that's a blessing. I'm thankful for it, and I hope you're thankful for it. Count that thing. Don't be blind to it. What about the witnessing of growth? Can you imagine? Think of the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. We meet Timothy in the second journey. Now, Paul met him in the first journey. We get introduced to him early on in the second one. When Paul showed back up and he's making his way through those churches in Galatia, Timothy was pointed out to him. Hey, take a look at that young guy. Got a lot going on. Paul ends up taking him with him. So Timothy was, he had gotten people's attention. Then he joins in with Paul. This is just round figures, but the second missionary journey would have been in the neighborhood AD 57-ish, somewhere around in there. By the time of the prison epistles, 7 years later or so, maybe 8 years later, Paul is writing to churches and he says things like, I can't come to you. I'm going to send Timothy. There's another one he was writing to a church. I can't come. I've got to go here. I'm sending Timothy to you. There's nobody I know more like-minded. He met Timothy, and he had something going on. And then he grew to the point where Paul says, you don't need me. You don't need to be with me anymore. You can handle this on your own. Go help them. Go do this work. It's needful work. What an incredible blessing that is. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. To see the above fruit. You know, we talked about encouragement and edification earlier. You know, when you see, if you were to see some string bean dedicate himself to going to the gym and he starts building his body up, well, you would notice it, right? Yeah, you would. How wonderful is it when you notice a spiritual body growing up? When you notice somebody who's going from here to there. They're doing things they used to not could do. The fruit of the edification. The fruit of the building up. We get to witness that in real life. Don't be blind to that. Don't shut your eyes to that. One of the constant themes in the Bible is to not simply hold ground. It's not about just holding and maintaining where we are. The idea is that we're not stationary, but we're constantly growing. 2 Peter chapter 1 is what we call those Christian graces. What talks about what we add, how we grow. Of course, it's not the end-all, be-all of growing. But it gets some pretty high benchmarks. Just to remind ourselves, let's read them again in verse 5. Beside this, give all diligence. So this is not, if you want to be a bodybuilder, looking at a weight doesn't do you any good. Getting a bunch of magazines to come through the mail doesn't do you any good. You can have all the workout regimens you want through a magazine. Ultimately, you got to put the work in. And that's how Peter starts this. There's some diligent work required. Be diligent. Don't talk about it. Don't just think about it. Don't just dream about it. Do it. Give diligence. And to your faith, add virtue. To your virtue, knowledge. To your knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To your godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. You know, building. We're not staying stationed. We're not just camping out. We're not homesteading. There's this continual improving, continual growing. That's what's required of us. That's what's expected of us, this well-rounded growth. And make sure we understand that idea behind the well-roundedness. Let me give a football example real quick. I can't remember his name now. Those of you Alabama fans, you'll definitely remember him. I know he was number 6. Last year's number 6, the Heisman Trophy winner. Wide receiver. Do you remember him? He weighed about 155 pounds. He was a toothpick. And you look at him and say, he's going to get hurt. No, he wasn't very big. But he compensated because he was so fast. So elusive. Nobody could square him up. He didn't have the body size, but he could play because of other things. Then you look at a defensive lineman who's about 340, and they run a 5.5. Oh, he can't play football. He's too slow. He's got to go this far real fast and hard. And he can play, even though he doesn't have this other skill. So you got this really short, skinny, fast guy. You got this real tall, heavy, somewhat slow guy, but he's very strong. And they both have a role. The big guy doesn't have to be all that fast. The fast guy doesn't have to be a monster. That works in football. Don't for one second bring it into the body of Christ and think that's okay. Being really good at one of them doesn't mean you can't ignore the others. Possessing one of these graces doesn't compensate for the lack of another. In other words, it doesn't. In football, it works. Okay, you can be fast and big, but you don't have to be on both. There's a role for you somewhere. Don't break that into the building. Don't break that into the church. Don't break that into the spiritual kingdom. Verse 6. I'm not all that good at self-control. Oh, but that's okay because I can endure very well. I'm not all that good at enduring. I don't have a lot of but that's okay. I really do love my brethren. Well, I'm glad we love our brethren. That doesn't mean we don't have to endure. I'm glad we can endure. That doesn't mean we can scratch self-control off. I'm glad we have a lot of self-control, but that doesn't scratch virtue. We don't stand in judgment as a church. Wouldn't that be nice? All 120 of us in judgment together. And God gets out the book. Okay, where's the virtuous ones? This is our virtue one. Where's the woman? Uncle Leo's the one who has the self-control. Cousin John, he's the one who has endurance. A football team, has to have all these attributes, but they've got them from 80-something people. These attributes, every one of them, individual. Every one of them expected by the Creator. Growth is necessary. Make sure we get that. It's necessary for endurance. It's necessary for steadfastness. It opens up doors of service as we grow and as our talents and skills increase. It leads to these other various opportunities. And we are blessed. So let's open up our eyes, because I want to, if we'll pay attention, we are hearing prayers from various points here. And that's a different prayer than it used to be. We have people in the calendar year of 2021 here taught their first Bible class. We have scheduled, I last week made the announcement of 2022 list going up. Stretch yourself. We have one on the list coming up in 2022. Never taught a Wednesday night invitation, but he's fixing to. We have people that used to be a song starter who are working hard to be a song leader. Song starters are like pebbles on the highway. Anybody can start a song. It takes diligence and work and practice to be a song leader. And we've got people trying to do that. Are you seeing it? Are you recognizing it? Do you see the growth? We have ladies who say, I'm not ready to teach, but I can go in and I can help aid. I can aid. I can be in there and I can help you with the children. Never done it, but they're on the schedule to do it. Etc. What about you? We had a training class twice a month for 10 months. That's 20 opportunities. Some of you went over 20, guys. You know who you are. Tim Stevens, who has dedicated decades of his life to how to teach music and leading and how to worship and cry. Some of you never came. He was here every night for 5 straight nights. 0 for 5, you know who you are. Maybe you couldn't. Maybe it was lack of concern, lack of effort. But there's growth to be expected. Look in Matthew chapter 5. I'm taking this somewhat out of its application, but I'm just going to use the phrase. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. What are you doing to press yourself? What are you doing to increase your skills and talents and abilities? What are you doing to grow? Matthew chapter 5. Again, I'm taking this out of its context. I want to warn you of that before we do it. Look in verse 47. Matthew 5 verse 47. If you salute the brethren only, what more are you doing than these? Publicans do that. The point was saying, people you wouldn't give 2 seconds worth of thought to do that. Don't the publicans and Gentiles do that? What more, right there in the middle of that, what more are you doing than others? I'm taking that out of its immediate context. I'm just applying it. What more am I doing? What more can I do to stretch myself? What more can you do? Because growth is expected. And when we grow, we edify others. We encourage others because it's seen. It's noticed. Don't forget this blessing. And that's a blessing of the brethren here. The encouragement, the edification that we get. Getting to see and recognize and witness growth right in front of our eyes. Which then encourages us. So you have one doing the other. We encourage others, they grow. Their growth encourages. It's just this cycle. That's a healthy church. What a wonderful thing. Blessings to the brethren. The closeness and the love that we share. There's a lot of differences in a church this size. There are different races here. There are different educational levels here. There are different degrees of what I guess would be called socioeconomic levels. And yet there's this union. There's this oneness. There's this sameness. What is that? It's exactly what Jay led us in the song. I didn't know he was leading that song. He didn't know we were going to talk about this. There's a tie that binds us. And it's not our color. There's a tie that binds us. And it's not the checkbook. There is a tie that binds us. And it's not where we grew up. It's the love we have for our Creator. It's the love we have for our Savior. And by extension, it's the love we have for one another. What a blessing that is. The special bond. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Speaking of this love that we have one with another. Romans chapter 12 verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, it's genuine. It's real. It's not just this fake thing we put on. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Here we go. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That I love that phrase, preferring one another. We know what it means to prefer a hamburger over a hot dog. But preferring one another. First of all, I like the phrase. Do you prefer your brethren over high school buddies? Do you prefer your brethren over even a family reunion? Do you prefer your brethren over whatever? Now, the context, the idea of preferring is outdoing. But there are people here who understand this. There are people in this room who feel closer to their brethren than they do their own flesh and blood. That's not Neverland stuff. That's not made up. That's real. That's genuine. Do you feel it? You have this love and this connection and this closeness, this idea of just, this oneness. What the scriptures called it like faith, like precious faith. It's not exactly the way we talk, but I love the way Abraham, when speaking to Lot, he said, "We be brethren." That's not the way we would put that together with grammar. We be brethren. Look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'm not saying there's something wrong with wearing a chain with a cross on it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with putting a fish decal on your car. But that's not how God said we would be recognized. There's not a uniform. There's not some outward sign that we wear that lets people know who we are. Here's how he said they'll know. John 13. Pick up with me in verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now wait a minute, that's not new. They've been told to love one another in the old law. What do you mean new? What's new about that? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you love one another. And there's the newness of it. A level of love that had never existed before. A sacrificial love. You love like that. Now look at verse 35. By this shall all know that you are my disciple. If you have loved one another. They're going to know not because we got a fish decal. They're going to know not because we're in a crucifix on our chest. They'll know by how we treat one another. The compassion, the kindness, the tenderheartedness, the care, the concern, the assisting, the forgiving. You know, that's what makes the first point in this whole lesson. The encouraging, the edifying. If you don't love me, you're not going to worry about edifying me. Let's just be honest. If I don't love you, I'm going to care if you grow. I'm not going to care if you're encouraged. I'm not going to care if you're getting built up. If I don't love you, none of these other ones are going to happen. And if you don't love me, none of them's going to happen. Maybe this explains why we don't mind missing. Maybe this explains why we don't. And by the way, let me just throw this in. If we don't feel this, if you don't feel this connection, it might be because you've withdrawn it from yourself. Show up late, leave early, nothing here but just an hourly acquaintance, and then we wonder why we don't feel close. We wonder why we don't feel connected. Well, there are things that happen to become close to somebody. There are things that happen to make people come connected. What are we doing? Are we doing the things that lead to that? Mark Twain, I believe, is the one that said, "To be without friends is the most serious form of poverty." I may be wrong on him. I think he's the one that said it. If I'm wrong with that, that's all right. Whoever said it got it right, didn't they? Whoever is without friends is of the most serious form of poverty. How much is that even increased when we talk about Christians? When we're talking about brethren? This is an evil world. And Satan is doing what Satan does. And he's as good at it as he's ever been. And yet we have each other for aid. We have each other for help if we will allow that. I'm blessed. If Mark Twain's right, if being without friends is the most evil or fullest form of poverty, then I am awfully rich. Because I got a lot of spiritual friends. I have been blessed like crazy. God's put so many good people in my life. I'm almost ashamed of how many good people have been able to influence in me in my life. I wish everybody had that. You can have it. But there are things we have to do. There are things to make that possible. Turn to Ecclesiastes 4. Let's get the wisdom real quick. Ecclesiastes 4. It's easy to forget some blessings when life's kind of tough. Don't forget the responsibility we have and the blessing we have from the encouragement and strengthening and growth and edification of our brethren. Don't forget that when life's tough. Don't forget there is this closeness that's possible if we'll do the things to make it reality. Don't forget that. Wisdom from above. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Pick up with me in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Trying to make it through. You think you're going to make it to heaven on your own? It's going to plow your own trail? I don't need my brethren. Strong enough. Solomon would argue with that. I don't need to assemble. I'm strong enough. Solomon's arguing with that. None of us are that strong. If they fall, one lifts them up. Woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he does not have another to help him up. Any of you have felt that? Maybe some discouragement? Felt alone? You don't have to be. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, they have heat, they have warmth. How can one be warm alone? He's asking a rhetorical question. The answer is they don't. Verse 12. If one prevails against him, two will withstand. In other words, you got somebody to aid you in this fight, in this skirmish, in this whatever has happened. You got somebody to aid, to hold your hands up. If one prevails against him, two will withstand. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's been a lot of commentary about that. If you're interested in that threefold cord, you can read and read and read and read. There's nothing to take from this that would say this is exactly what's being spoken of. But it's an interesting application either way. Many think that what that three is talking about is now God's involved. There's this two united. And then God now verse 9, two better than one. Verse 10, two helps the other. Verse 11, two helps the one. Verse 12, but what if there's three? And a lot of commentators think that might be referring to God. Me and you and God. You and this one and God. I don't know if that's, again, there's not enough context there to know if that's exactly what's being referred to, but it is at least an application because other verses teach the same thing. When God is with us, how does Romans chapter 8 end? Angels, principalities, things present, things to come. They can't separate us from the love of God. What a blessing we have. We are not alone. What a blessing we have that there are other people with like spirit, mutual trust, mutual goals, mutual desires, and we have one another to encourage. We have one another to help grow. We have one another to just have a shoulder to love and to keep us warm when the world gets cold, etc. What a wonderful blessing this is. To connect this morning with tonight, none of this happens outside of the root. We are branches. We're not the vine. We are branches. We're not the root. All of this is made possible through Jesus. There's no growing in the Lord without the Lord. There is no building up. There is no encouraging in the Lord outside of the Lord. And the peace and the love that we have one for another, the closeness that we have one for another, that all goes back to the unity that He provides and makes possible. We're just friends without Him. We are brethren with Him. And as Robert Frost says, that has made all the difference. That changes everything. Get your songbooks out. As we come to an end of a year, going to be a lot of blessings counted, you know, the next couple weeks or so, whatever. Don't forget to count these. Don't forget to count the blessings we have in our brethren. Be thankful for them. Understand that it's individual responsibilities that make these things possible. What am I doing? Matthew chapter 5, what more am I doing? If you're not a Christian, we talked this morning, there's separation from God, but we can be grafted into the body. Grafted into that root. Here's what it takes. It takes faith. Faith that Jesus is who He says and that He did what He did and that He is King of a kingdom. How about confessing that? How about repenting of your sins? Be baptized to wash those sins away and you become part. Behold the goodness of God. Those of us that are Christians, if you don't count your blessings in time, you forget their blessings. Just kind of do your own thing. Not today. We're counting today. And we are aware today. And we are considering the goodness of God. And then we're going to understand that He says of Himself, God of vengeance, a God of judgment. And we're going to behold the severity of God. And because of the goodness and severity of God, we're going to act. And we're going to act today. If there's something we can do to help you, do it while we stand and sing.